So welcome back to another episode of Locker to Leave It. Another great one for you guys and girls today. We have a 6'4 combo guard, the third best in the nation, Jalen Worley. He's joining another stacked class of FSU recruits in hopes of trying to bring back that natty home to Tallahassee. Do not go anywhere. This guy's a stud. You're going to want to hear from him. All right, so we are back, and let's just introduce ourselves. I'm your host, Jay, and joining me, as usual, are my co-hosts, Cam and Aaron. But Cam first, how are you, man?
What's up, Jay? You know I'm good. We've got basketball on again tonight. You know I love doing these, so let's get into it. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing great. MLB All-Star game was last night. A bunch of Rays players in it. They did really well, so that was awesome to see. And can't wait to see what happens in this game tonight, man. This is the swing game, so... very excited to see how Devin Booker responds to that Game 3 beatdown.
Yeah, well, before we get into the special guest, I want to shout out to one of our former guests, Matt Nelson, who was just drafted in the first round by the Cincinnati Reds. The dude is amazing. He won the Buster Posey Award. He was the best catcher in the entire nation this past year. The guy's an absolute stud. Go check out his highlights in that interview. He was a great time, man. But let's get to our special guest because he... so what we're here for today, Jalen Worley, man. How are you? Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm doing really well today. I'm looking forward to that NBA Finals game, especially Bucks versus Suns, see how Giannis and Book respond. So overall, I'm doing good, though.
Good stuff, man. So let's just hop right in. When I was watching some of your tape earlier to get ready for this interview, I saw that you had a deep bag when it came to finishing around the rim. You were mixing defenders with Euro steps, behind the backs, off the hand finishes, left, right, you name it. And you also be jellying the piss out of the ball, man. Shout out to Jelly Fam as they can finally make some money off the brand that they created. But your finishing ability forces the defense to collapse, resulting in easy lobs off pick and rolls. How much do you work on the P&R as you realize how much we see it being run in today's modern game?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what you said. Pick and roll is used in all levels in basketball. It's one of the most used alignments, things that almost every possession you see, either a ball screen or off ball screen. But yeah, that ability to finish around the rim is just something that I've worked on since I was younger, whether in practice, workouts, it's just always something I want to be able to do in terms of being able to finish with either hand.
Yeah, well, quick shout out to Isaiah Washington, Javon Quinterly, people who started that, pioneered the jelly. When did you start doing the jelly itself, man? Because it seems like it's a whole generation of kids now that always do the jelly when they're going up the layups. I love it.
Yeah, no, I definitely added to my package when I started practicing different ways of finishing around the rim. At the high school level, when I was younger, there was a lot of guys who were bigger and more athletic than me, so I would have to find ways to spin the ball off the glass with reverse layups, finger rolls, stuff like that. So just adding as many things to my package and trying to adjust to the competition was probably the biggest thing that made me add it to my package. But then I just like to have some fun with it from time to time.
Yeah, so all through high school, you wear the number 2. Does this number have a certain significance to you? And do you know if you'll be wearing that at Florida State this season?
Yeah, so I've wore number 2 since middle school. It's always just been something that's important to me. Both my uncle and my dad, they both wore 23 and 32. So I tried to wear 23 for a little bit, but I kind of wanted to have, you know, my own little juice with number 2. But yeah, I won't be wearing number 2 this year. I'll be wearing number 1, but all throughout like middle school and elementary school, I was either number 1, number 2, or 23. So I'm still staying in the same ballpark, staying in the family.
Hey, yo, the single digits hit the hardest. Number 1 still a fire number, but moving Thanks. On, like when we're talking, like when I play basketball, it's usually pick up and it's outside. If we're being blunt, yeah, man, I talk copious amounts of shit when I play basketball. If I'm guarding someone, I'm giving them the first shot of the game. And if they miss, I'm yelling, hell no. And if that person wasn't already guarding me, the next possession, you best believe they're checking me because they're amped up. It makes for better competition. Right. But for you, during your high school career, who was the best trash talker you've played against or maybe heard through the grapevine of other people?
Ooh, that's a great question right there. Honestly, a lot of the best quote-unquote trash talkers were like my friends that I would play in AAU or high school, just because like they would have the most ammunition. They would like know a lot about me, like say little personal jokes and stuff like that. So honestly, like the average trash talker, like I feel like I've heard it all before, so it doesn't really affect me. But it used to be a lot of fun playing against like teammates and buddies like that, because they'd have some real specific jokes for you on the court.
When we had Matt Cleveland and John Butler on the pod, if you haven't watched those episodes, by the way, if you're listening, go listen to those. Got some great content. If you want to learn about FSU basketball, the recruiting process, anything related to that, we got great content on that. But back in those episodes, we asked them who the toughest players to guard were that they've had to face. Matt said it was Jalen Green for him, and John said his toughest were Chet Holmgren and Terrence Clark. Rest in peace. Who's the hardest you've had to guard? Was it someone unexpected, maybe? Maybe a random dude dropping 40 on you, whether it be AAU or high school?
Yeah, I think the hardest for me was Cam Reddish. He went to high school with me when I was younger. And just watching that dude every day in practice, finding myself guarding him, trying to play him one-on-one after practice and stuff like that. Man, he's different. So he's definitely by far the hardest person I've had to guard throughout my career so far.
Yeah, man. Did you see that video on YouTube? Maybe you have. It's Anthony Edwards. It's a lot more guys in that draft class, and they were all asked that same question by somebody, and they were all like,
"Yeah,
Cam Reddish served me 40, man. Like, I don't know what it was about him, but apparently Cam Reddish in high school was different. It was different.
Nah, he was a bucket, man. He still is, for real, but.
Yeah, Cam Reddish in his last game finished like 7-8 from deep. One of our good roommates is from Atlanta. He was like calling me like crazy. He's like, "Cam Reddish is going off. Turn on the TV."
Yeah, no, he's a star right now, but his ceiling, like his potential, I mean, it's unmatched. I mean, we don't even truly know how good he can become, but he's a future star, no doubt.
Something that separates FSU basketball from a lot of other schools is how we do the little things. We're great at the fundamentals. We made a name for ourselves by not having the highest recruiting talent, but by playing team basketball. We rotate on defense, make the extra pass. Everyone buys into Coach Ham's system. This worked really well for us in recent years. We've had a lot of wins, a lot of high draft picks, and now the top recruits are taking notice. This year, we had the second-ranked draft recruiting class of the nation. When did FSU come on your radar, and how have you adjusted to the college lifestyle so far?
Yeah, kind of all the things that you said was just like the culture of FSU basketball. They've been on my radar for a little bit, but things didn't really ramp up till during COVID. I found myself with a lot of time at home, like a lot of free time to learn about different schools and places that I previously hadn't had like a great relationship with or not too much information. Early on in that COVID process, I got really close with the staff. They were just telling me about their system, kind of just telling me about the things you touched on, the things that differentiate us from your average high major program. And the relationship just blossomed since the first conversation. I already had kind of a feeling that this is definitely a place that I either want to be at or is heavy in contention. So, yeah, that relationship started about like a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah, I think what really helps with these top recruits like you also is we had David Nichols on. He was talking about how Florida State runs like an NBA team, how you have the chartered flights, you have the meals, you have the coaching, right, the schemes that run it. So when you get to that next level, it's nothing new. You kind of already got a head start on other people there. But that's what I wanted to add on. Cam, what do you want to say?
So when we had John Butler on, he mentioned that one of the reasons he decided to come to Florida State is because he's always been playing center in high school, being like 7'1" compared to like high school ball. They're just going to put you at center. But the coaching staff and Coach Ham came to him and said they wanted to play him at guard. Has the coaching staff said anything to you about how they plan to utilize your unique skill set this year?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I came down to Florida State is because a lot of people would mention me as a combo guard. So I found a lot of colleges trying to either make me a point guard or a shooting guard, rather than kind of just embracing the skill set of being able to do both. But with the system of Florida State, it fits in perfectly because I can play a lot of different positions. I can handle the ball, not handle the ball, be the one setting the screen, receiving the screen. So it just it screams versatility, and that's exactly what I wanted to be in college. I didn't want to let any coach or any person just put me in a specific box. So it was, that was something that was probably one of the major reasons why I decided to wind up coming to Florida State.
Yeah. So I was listening to a previous interview you had with a guy named Jacob Polacek. Shout out, Jacob, if you're listening to this. But you were talking about the mindset change that comes when you finally become the hunted instead of the hunter. The ACC is known to be one of, if not the most competitive basketball conferences in the country. How excited are you to play against these other historic programs with high talent also in this conference?
Yeah, I'm extremely excited. I mean, day in, day out, every game you're going to be, it's going to be a war. You're going to be fighting against some of the top level coaches, top level facilities, top level training staffs. I mean, coaching staffs in the country. I mean, there's a lot of really good coaches in the conference who put up a lot of banners at their respective colleges and produce a lot of NBA players. So just to know that you're going to have that that NBA level competition, NBA level environment, intensity. Day in and day out, just really excites me because hopefully it'll prepare you for when you get to that next level and there won't be a big adjustment period because you're already going to be day in and day out playing against some of the best players in the country.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we'll continue with the NBA and Jalen Woolridge. Don't go anywhere.
Jalen, like we said, we're going to switch to the NBA for a sec. Who are some players in the league that you model your game after, whether today or maybe a former player? And I know you'd mentioned earlier, you played the same high school as Cam Reddish and also Mo Bamba. Do you have any relationship with them at all? And if so, what's that like?
Yeah. Thinking about who I model my game after, a lot of them, I think of big guards, like Magic Johnson, Penny Hardaway, especially old timers. I love watching their film, just seeing how they control the pace of the game and the flow. But currently in the league, my favorite player, I guess it's a tie. My two favorite players are Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Devin Booker. So those are kind of two of the guys that I like a lot. I see a lot of their game, their demeanor, kind of how they carry themselves. So those are my two guys in the league. But yeah, having those two people come before you and Mo and Cam kind of just set a certain standard. Like coming into high school, like I wasn't walking into high school hoping to score 40 a game as a freshman. I was looking at these seniors, watching them go to the next level and just imagining myself in those shoes. So I think for me, just being able to see Cam day in and day out, just seeing how he carries himself, how hard he works, I knew it was going to take a lot to get to this level. And I learned that when I was coming into high school at 14 years old. So I think for me, he just led by example a lot. But keeping that relationship with him has been really cool, just seeing him develop from college and then into the pros eventually. So yeah, no, it's a very special relationship and opportunity that I don't take for granted. I know how valuable it is.
So Jalen, Jay and I have this discussion all the time. If not in an NBA game, you go to Rucker, this is at Rucker Park, a 1-1 KD versus LeBron, game new 11, who wins and what's the score?
I got to take KD. KD's a walking bucket. But I think you said the game to 11?
Yeah, what's the score? Ones and twos.
I mean, I'm not going to disrespect Brown. He's a great. So I'll put KD 11-8. That'll be my score.
Let me say this. Is the score different if someone – like, is it score different if KD gets the ball first or if LeBron gets the ball first, or are you saying the score either way? Because I feel like whoever gets the ball first is a big advantage, man. Because I don't see 100%. KD checking Brown. And I don't see Brown checking KD.
100%. I think that's a good thing to think about. Another factor is the Rucker Park. Like, there's no foul calls, stuff like that. Yeah. So, Bron's got some weight on him. Exactly. Yeah, Bron's got some weight on him. So, that is something to think about. But I'm going to trust my guns and just rock out with KD. I think he's still going to get the dub.
I was about to say, Jay, I know you've seen that footage of KD at Rucker Park, bro. We don't need to watch that.
Yeah.
We've all seen Who hasn't? It,
yeah. We've all giving seen out buckets.
We've all seen that, yo. So, going off that, man, you said in the intro how you're looking forward to the finals game tonight. We saw in game three that the Suns couldn't get the 3-0 lead. The Bucks bounced back. They protected home court. Giannis had two back-to-back 40-point games with 10 rebounds. Only other place to do that was Shaq and LeBron James. So he joined some rare company to do that in the NBA finals. So let me just ask you, who do you think takes this game four? Like you said, Devin Booker's one of your favorite players. Do you think he bounces back? And let's say, who gets the win in this one? Because game fours are the biggest game of the series to me. It's a swing game. If you either tie it up or you're down 3-1, who takes the game tonight?
Yeah, I think D-Book definitely bounces back tonight. Not even just offensively. I think he's just going to be more engaged overall. I think Giannis has a good game. But like you said, this is probably, if not the most important game in the series, one of the most important games in the series. So for me, it comes down to point guard play. And Chris Paul right now is playing like the best point guard in the world at the moment. So I don't want to say that the Bucks don't have a chance, but I just know in these type of moments, Chris Paul is going to be dictating a lot of the game, a lot of the pace, a lot of what he wants to happen during the course of the game. So I think this is a big game where Chris Paul steps up and puts the 3-1 lead in close to the nail in the coffin on the series.
Yeah, I heard someone say, Chris has been in the league for 16 odd years. He's not going to put the ball in campaign's hands to win him an NBA Finals. If he goes down, it's going to be him swinging. He's going to be making sure the offense is getting some good shots through him, being the facilitator, being the maestro that he is. But Aaron, you take it away.
So we've been doing this a lot lately on the pod. We do a quick round in honor of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who just won the Stanley Cup. As everyone knows, I'm from Tampa Bay, huge fan of all of our teams. If you missed the boat parade Monday, you missed out. Well, it's all right. We'll get one next year, so you can come to that one. But in honor of the Lightning, we're going to have a quick Lightning round. It's very simple. Quick questions and quick answers. So first off, would you rather make a nasty contested jelly layup or a thundering fast break dunk?
Definitely fast break dunk. Get the crowd involved, for sure.
I know you haven't been in the state long, but Pennsylvania or Florida?
I got to rock out Pennsylvania. That's the hometown. Can't go against
respect,
it.
Respect.
Which do you consider more disrespectful, crossing somebody and draining the three in their eye or catching a body on the fast break?
I think catching the body on a fast break. I mean, especially if it's like legit chest to chest, like we both jump up there and I get the best of you. I feel like that's more personal for me.
Yeah, man. We saw that in the Tuck happen a couple of years ago. We saw Trent Forrest absolutely put Jordan and Wara in a casket. It was absolutely wild. But my question to you would be Prime Wade or James Harden? It's tough.
That's a great question.
Because if you're thinking like stats-wise, James Harden has stats. But if you're talking winning intangibles, like
The DNA, the winning DNA.
Exactly. Wade, how do you beat that, man? It's tough.
Personally, I'm more of a what have you done for me lately. And James Harden in the playoffs, whether I can't say he's off on the playoffs, he doesn't seem to elevate his game in the playoffs. And that's always a characteristic that I would describe with the winning Wade, especially in some of the biggest moments, biggest games. So until he does that, I got to take D-Wade.
Yeah, I have one vivid memory, man, of the Heat when it was Wade and LeBron. And LeBron had, they were versus the Pacers. LeBron tried to dribble it down, try to get the game winner. He shot it, missed. They got the ball back off a inbounds. Dwayne Wade looks at him and says, no, I got this one. Takes it. I don't know if you remember it. He hits the pump fake on Paul George, gets him in the air, pump fakes it, puts it up, cash, 0.1 on the clock, runs down to the other side of the court and just says, this is my house, man. Like, you got to respect me, you know? LeBron may be Batman, and I may be the Robin right now, but I'm still the closer of this team, so I fuck with that.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, no doubt.
Talking real life Space Jam, man. Fate of the universe on the line. The Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth. If you beat them in one game, you live. What is your all-time starting five lineup to protect Earth?
All-time starting five lineup. With me in it or without me in it?
You can put yourself in there.
You can put yourself in it. I mean, if you want to, if you trust yourself, all time.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put myself at the one. I'll put Curry with me at the two. LeBron at the three, KD at the four, Shaq at the five.
Shaq at the five. I love that. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So we've got a small little hoop in front of my house, and Jay and Aaron and I get into some little nasty games of 21 back up in Tally. When you guys aren't at the practice facility, who wins a game of 21 between you, Matthew Cleveland, and John Butler? Who's coming away at the W?
Oh, man. I gotta take myself, but I think it's also about who gets the ball first, because them boys got some moves with them, so that might be another factor to it, but I'll take myself though, for sure.
Yeah, so I know you haven't been in Tally too long, but how have you adjusted to the culture up there in Tallahassee? Like, where are some of your favorite spots that you've been to so far, and how are you liking it up there? How's the adjustment going?
Yeah, the adjustment's been pretty good so far. I feel really at home, especially with the guys. I feel like they've been embracing me, being a part of the culture, kind of just helping me out with anything that I don't know or that I'm not very too familiar with. But just the people in Tallahassee are super welcoming. They're always having a conversation, always ready to open the door for you or answer any questions when I'm confused or anything like that. So far, everything's been really good. I don't have a hometown spot for you. I just find myself at the Chipotle down the street like 4 times a week, like just always eating Chipotle. So that's for right now, that's my favorite go-to food spot.
Yeah, man. So that'll wrap up the interview for today. Big shout out and thanks to Jalen Worley for taking his time to hop on this pod and talk some hoops. I don't know if you visited for a game before, but the Tuck will be packed and shaking when the basketball season starts. Cannot wait for these alley-oops to tear the roof off the stadium. Let's just start our sign-offs, man. So, Aaron, thank you for coming on, man. Anything you want to say?
Jalen, thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it. Really looking forward to the FSU basketball team this year, man. I've seen some rumors on Twitter that we might be adding another piece pretty soon. So that could be big as well. Also, shout out my boy Matt Nelson getting drafted 35th overall. That's insane. Knew he was going to be amazing since we played together. We were like 12 years old. And we got some MLB content coming up too for you baseball fans. There will be some articles probably within the week. So be on the lookout for that. LockItOrLeaveIt.org.
Yeah, then let's also say peace to Cam. Anything you want to say, Cam, on the sign up?
Yeah, just thank you guys for listening. Make sure to keep interacting with us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And we're actually about to publish our YouTube channel, so definitely go over there and check that out. So there'll be some more good content out there for you guys.
Yeah, Jalen, before we leave, do you have any NIL deals you may want to plug or just let anyone know of anything that you're doing with the name, image, likeness, if possible?
No names or brands, but I just want to thank you guys for having me on and chopping up with me for a little bit.
Absolutely, man. So make sure to visit the website. We have a new article, a new NBA Rewind. It's about MVP Derrick Rose. If you fuck with that, and if you fuck with what we're doing, scroll down and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It only takes 5 seconds, and it helps us out tremendously. And remember to keep in contact with us through our social media and our website under the More tab. Thanks for another great episode. It's time to booze and get ready for these finals.